Okay. Hey, we love the Lord. We welcome those that are here joining us on podcast. And thank God for where all these messages go. This is a series that we're doing. And the series goes like this: when you see Jesus clearly, and that's our goal. This is what the Lord wants. He wants all of us to see Him clearly. And He wants, the Holy Spirit has come to reveal Jesus to us. Jesus came to reveal the Father, because there was a lot of misunderstanding of what the Father was like. And He came to show what the Father was like. And He told them, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He was the perfect representation of the Father. And then Jesus, crucifixion, resurrection, goes to heaven. And He says, but this is good news. I'm sending another just like Me. And this one will dwell in you and with you. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actually the very Spirit of Jesus, just like Jesus. And He's come, when you receive Christ, He comes to dwell in you. And the promise is that He will never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you. Is that great news? And so what our journey is about is getting to know the Lord better. And the Holy Spirit, one of His names is Helper. And He wants to help us. He loves to take the Word and reveal Jesus to us through His Word and through His works, so that we can see Him and get to know Him better. And something is very, very exciting. The more you get to know Him, the more you see Him, the more you get to know Him. I wanted just to make this announcement: the more you're changed. And I call it an effortless change, because it's something the Lord does in you from inside and out. He transforms you. The Bible says that as you're renewing, changing the pattern in your mind, the program in your mind, because even after you receive Christ, you still have an old program here. And that program has to be renewed. But the more that you renew your mind, the Holy Spirit helps you with the Word to see Jesus and how to apply Jesus to your life. The Bible says we're transformed. And that transformation is the same word like the caterpillar to the butterfly. It's so exciting. And that's a continuing work. Even though we accept Christ and Christ comes into our life one time and He stays and never leaves, in spite of our report card. Is that great news? In spite of our report card, we have covenant with Him. And it's a promise that cannot be broken, not even by you. Is that good news? Because Jesus came and represented you. That's why He was here in skin, to represent you. And so it's a covenant that He keeps. And it's by grace. None of us deserve it. None of us earn it. I know there's people out there in religious ranks that are trying real hard to earn it. But it's not something we earn. It's something we receive by faith. By grace through faith. It's what Jesus has provided. And what He has provided, we use faith. And faith is not a mystery word. I know a lot of people present it as, you know, faith. And it's kind of a spooky. No, it's not. Faith is saying yes to Jesus. That's how simple it is. It's just saying yes to Jesus. And this is something that all of us can do, because Jesus paid the price for you to accept Him. The work's already been done. That's why it's called finished works on the cross. It's finished because our works don't accomplish it. Jesus has accomplished the works. And by grace, which means He's already provided for it, we say yes by faith to what He's provided by grace. We say yes to everlasting life. We say yes to abundant life. And we say yes to everything that He accomplished on the cross for us. And there's so much that He's provided for that we have yet to apply. But it's done. It's finished. And this is part of the adventure. While we're still here, if not, then as soon as you received Christ, zip, you'd go right to heaven. But you're left here as a part of an adventure of getting to know Him better and learning how to receive and apply what He's already provided for. Now, that's exciting. When you capture that vision, it'll change the way you approach God on a daily basis, because it's exciting. And He has all good planned for you. He doesn't have whippings lined up for you. It's not whoopings, like from where I'm from, that He's looking to whoop you. No, no, He's looking to bless you. And that's how He loves. And so this series is about seeing Jesus clearly. He announced that He was God. He announced, He said, I am. I am. Now that's the very same way that God introduced Himself to Moses. I am. Moses said, who do I say sent me? What's the name? What's your name? He said, I am. And it's a beautiful description, because I am means I am everything that you need and everything you will ever need in your life. I am everything. And not only that, He said, I am more than enough. He was showing the disciples and the people around Him over and over again, I am, Jesus, more than enough for everything that you'll face and everything that you need. Wow. Doesn't that make you want to run to Him? Doesn't that make you want to get to know Him better? Well, that's part of what this series is all about. And I've seen this happen in my life. See, He shows us, Holy Spirit will show us Jesus in the Word. So when you look at the Bible, you don't read it like a history book or like a newspaper. You look at the Scripture and you're saying in your heart, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus. I want to see Jesus in the Word. And it's amazing when you have that purpose. Instead of looking for information, you're looking for revelation to see Jesus. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of your heart and the ears of your heart to see and hear Jesus. And when you see Jesus, that's when transformation takes place. Amen. Happens over and over again. It's a lifetime, exciting lifetime journey. I've never gotten over it. And it's so exciting for this to happen. But He is the I Am. I've got to see the works of the Lord in my life too. This is why we give testimony of what God's doing in our life. Because the Holy Spirit will say to other people, hey, what I've done for them, I will do for you. Because He's no respecter of persons. And your need may have a different name on it, but He's the answer to every need. And He's proving that to His disciples. And we've done about 10 sermons in this series to show you that. I don't have time to repeat it. I'm going to try to cover some ground this morning. So y'all listen fast, okay? But it goes like this. The time that I was doing a crusade in Central America, and pastor led me through the bush, through the jungle, to this little man, and he is, they call it a man's, and his little house, and it was up on stilts to be up off the jungle floor, and he was sitting down, and I went and prayed over him, and he accepted Christ, and he stood up and hugged the pastor, and was so excited, he prayed to receive Christ, he was just thrilled. What I didn't know, because it was one of the works of Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm convinced that the Lord works His miracles through us and in us, but not because of us, but in spite of us a lot of times. And so I want to tell you, you don't have to be a superhero of faith. You have enough faith. You don't have to be a super holiness person, because you know what? He knows you and He loves you and He works. And even in our weaknesses, He shows Himself strong. And so here I am. I didn't understand, because they were talking in a language I didn't really understand very well. And so the pastor explained to me that this man had been bent over since he was a little boy. And he had never stood up. And so here was an elderly man. And the night before, he had a dream. Before I arrived there, he had a dream. I didn't even know we were going. But he had a dream. And God showed him in a dream that a white man, because I was the first white man to ever visit him, his home, his man's, that a white man was going to come the next day and talk to him about Jesus, and that he was going to pray with him, and he was going to receive Christ, and when he received Christ, he would be healed. And so this man was out on his porch, sitting down in his chair, waiting and looking for the white man to come. No one had ever come. No white man had ever come. And so here I come with the pastor and get up there, and as soon enough, pray to receive Christ. He stood up. And it was so exciting, and it was the Lord's touch. It was the Lord's miracle in his life. And the pastor had to explain to me, because I didn't even know what all happened. And so you can't say it was Brother Tim Marty, man of faith. No. You know what it was? Jesus. And I want to tell you, the Lord loves it that way. We need to make sure He gets all the honor and glory. The time that I was at the Texas wedding barbecue and it started to rain, it was an outside wedding, and the winds came, I stood up and prayed and rebuked the weather and for it to stop raining, and the winds came and blew, and just immediately it stopped, and I got to witness to so many people that day. You know, that was the I am showing that He is more than enough. Okay? The times that I've dealt with, I told you when I was a teenager doing a youth camp, and I took a walk with a young man, and I was trying to help him. Nobody could help him. I was taking a walk with him, talking to him about Jesus, and this deep, dark voice came out of this young man, and it was actually a demon. You know, I had not gone through training about how to heal a man that had been bent over since his youth. I had not gone through training on how to stop the weather. I had not gone through training about how to deal with a demonized boy. But you know, I want to tell you what, it was Jesus. You know what my part was? My part, because this series is close to my heart, my part was to focus on Jesus and to see Jesus clearly and focus on His words and focus on His works. And the Lord shows up, we see the kingdom clearly, obviously, when we see Jesus clearly. And you know what? The Lord is free to do what He wants to do in our life and through our life to others when our focus is on Him and not on us or not on the waves and the wind, but on Him. He's free to do what He wants to do. And He loves to show Himself mighty. He's still showing Himself to this generation that He's the I am more than enough for everything that you need. My name's Jesus. And so He loves to do that. I'll tell you, here's a couple stories. When I was a youth pastor down in East Texas, and I've been traveling and preaching revivals, and this one place where I'd preached a revival, they invited me to bring my youth group to their youth group. We was going to have a volleyball day, and so it was during the summer, and so kind of promoted, advertised it, but the Lord was doing such a neat work that when it came time, we filled up a bus, okay, of teenagers to go down to meet with this other youth group, play volleyball, have a Jesus time. And so, sure enough, we arrive. This is out in the country. It's a little country church out in the country. And when we arrive and we start piling out of the bus, everybody was so excited. And those teens already knew me. They were greeting me and everything. But I could see there was a little gathering of little women over there. And they looked like they had seen someone, a ghost or something. They looked very disturbed. And so, sure enough, everybody gets through hugging me, and they're waving me over there. And the youth pastor says, they need to talk to you. And I walked over there and said, what's up? They said, hey, we don't have enough hot dogs. We're way short. I said, no problem. If the Lord can multiply fish, He can multiply hot dogs. And they said, well, we'll let you do the prayer. And I did. I just prayed. Gathered all the teens because we're going to eat first. Lord, thank you for the hot dogs. Thank you, Lord, that there's more than enough hot dogs here because, Lord, you're our provider. Simple prayer. Not on Tim, not in the name of Tim, in the name of Jesus. We got through, and one of the little ladies spoke up, and she said, by the way, let's just get one hot dog apiece right now. Okay, you understand that? And so they all go through the line. And then the next thing I know, because I'm visiting, I'm not eating, I'm visiting. And the next thing you know, they bring me a plate that's got a couple hot dogs on it. And they make an announcement. Any of you guys want an extra hot dog, come on. And they all went through the line. All the boys eating two hot dogs. I ate my fair share. And so, you know, they could not wait to come tell me. We know how many hot dogs we made. We also know how many hot dogs we served. Jesus multiplied hot dogs today. Now I want to tell you, that's just a little snack for Jesus. Do you understand? I mean, if He can, at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, if He can take water and make gallons and gallons of the best wine they'd ever had right out of heaven, just to keep a little couple from being embarrassed at the wedding, you know, He can multiply whatever you surrender to Him. Let me make an announcement. He is the I am. And He's more than enough His name is Jesus for whatever we need. When I was in college, I was sharing with the preacher class about passing out tracts and evangelism, and there was another college close by, and so I arranged a blitz night where we'd gotten a bunch of tracts together, and I just told the guys, I said, this is fun. It's a blitz night. We all take a handful of tracts. We go over to this college campus, and anybody we find on campus, we just hand them a tract. You get a chance to talk to them about Jesus, go for it. But the main thing is pass out the word. We'll be called the track team tonight. Okay? And sure enough, we went over there. And so, man, the guys were excited. We had prayed. We were all excited. We could see students out around the campus. And so, man, I said, sick them, let's go. And so, man, they were running out there and catching people and giving them tracts. And I'll never forget, I walked by this dorm, and I looked in the dorm through the glass, the big walls of glass you could see inside, and I could see that a bunch of guys, this was the guys' dorm, and they were gathered around watching TV, and there was guys up on the balcony on the inside. And so sure enough, the Holy Spirit prompted me, there's the fish. I want to fish where the fish are. And so, man, I grabbed my tracks, and I walked in there, and I said, hey, men. And, man, the TV's on loud, there's music in the hallway, and everybody's talking, have a good day. There was one guy turned around, looked over his shoulder, and went, huh, you don't like this right here? He didn't recognize me, right? And so, and I tried again, hey, man, I want to tell you something. Nobody heard me, nobody listened. And about that time, see, I'm calling this story no power evangelism. You've heard me talk about power evangelism, where the Lord just shows himself mighty, and it's kind of like ringing a dinner bell. That little man that stood up, okay, for the first time and was healed. The word, even though they didn't have telephones, that part of the world, by that night, there were so many people gathered for the meeting, they couldn't all get inside. They were in lines outside the windows, open windows, you understand, no air conditioning. And boy, you know, there were so many people that came. Matter of fact, by the next night, people had walked all night through the jungle to be there. Why? Because when the Lord shows forth his power in your life, it's like ringing a dinner bell, calling people to himself. That's what the miracles are for, to confirm Jesus as the Son of God. And so, really and truly, they didn't listen to me. I called out again. Nobody answered. And about that time, there was this loud pop. Okay, it was loud, loud pop, and all the power went out. That's why I call it no power evangelism. And so the next thing I know, the light comes on, and when the lights come back on, everything except the TV and the music, when the lights come back on, people are running down the halls to see what happened. People in the room are turned around facing me. And so I had undisturbed time, uninterrupted, complete attention moments to share the gospel. And so I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I invited anybody that was hearing that wanted to receive Christ, come outside. I'd be right outside. And so I stood outside, and sure enough, there was a couple guys that came out that wanted prayer. But I want to tell you, it was an amazing event. I didn't have it planned. Hey, what we're to do is to focus on Jesus, not on ourselves. Focus on Jesus, not the winds and the waves. Not to try to reason, boy, that's big. Not to try to reason out how God's going to do something, but to keep our focus on him and let the I am be the I am for the moment. Because he's more than enough for everything we face. And so that's just a couple examples, and I've shared more during this series. But, you know, distractions come in our journey. It happens for all of us. I don't care how mature you are. I don't care how spiritual you are. This world is full of distractions. Amen or oh me? Yeah, both. I'm telling you, it's true. Not too long ago, a few months ago, I was traveling on I-20 East, and I was going through Alabama, and I was in the center lane, the number one lane. There was a big truck, and he began to move over. I'm pretty sure he didn't see me. If so, he wasn't impressed with the Red Hawk. Okay, so he moves me over one lane, moves me over another lane, and he keeps coming to the far outside lane. I didn't have anything to do but to exit. Now, thank God, there was an exit right there. And I went through downtown Birmingham. That was not a part of my plan for the day. But I'm telling you, distractions come in this life. that will cause you to exit your main journey and to get off on a sidetrack. Sometimes it's a tunnel. Sometimes there's no lights in the tunnel. Ever been there? Okay, sometimes there's a curve in a dark tunnel. You ever experienced one of those? That's the way it is in life. But listen, when you recognize, see, the good news for me, there was an exit right there. And Jesus has promised to make a way of escape for you, even when you get distracted, because He is our God positioning system. And He, when you turn your focus on Him, once you know you're distracted, once you know you're off base, you're off track, turn your focus on the Lord, and He will guide you and deliver you and bring you back to where He wants you to be. Our important opportunity is to put our focus on Him and follow what He says. And so, sure enough, the next thing I know, I'm downtown Birmingham, and GPS kicks in. And as I follow direction, is anyone listening? Follow prompting. The next thing I know, in just a few moments' time, I'm back on I-20, headed east toward Georgia. And so you understand that's the way the Lord can work in our life. The moment you recognize, because this happens in our journey, no condemnation to you, this is real journey, but the moment you recognize and see that you're not walking on top of the waves, but you're sinking in the waves, the moment you recognize that, you can make adjustments by seeking the Lord. Cry out to the Lord, seek the Lord, halt everything, put your undivided focus on fellowship with Him. You see, He's more interested in your fellowship than He is your works. Well, that's a big thing. I need to probably say it again, because religion tells you and teaches you that God wants your works first. No, He wants your fellowship first. He designed you first for fellowship, and out of fellowship, hey, we love Him back with works. We don't do works to get His love. We do works as a result of our love for Him. Okay? I picked up leaves yesterday at Camp Hallsville. Was not on my list to do. I picked up leaves not because I wanted to, because I did this whole side over here the day before. It wasn't because I wanted to. It was because I loved her. Amen. Yeah. Okay? But see, that's what love life does. Okay. The Lord, this is the truth. Walking requires continual adjustment. And so I'm telling you, walking with the Lord requires continual adjustment. This is why we got to keep our focus on Him. Heaven is not looking for perfection. Heaven's not looking, definitely not looking for the mindset of perfectionism. That's religion will do that. Some people are kind of programmed that way. Okay, I will help you in a moment. It's not perfection or perfectionism. What heaven's looking for is someone that will pursue with perseverance, that will continue to seek the Lord. Because when you continue to seek the Lord, He will set you back on the right path. He will order your steps. And so be willing to flex, be willing to follow. It's following the shepherd. It's not out for your lone walk. It's following the shepherd, hearing His voice continually. Don't wait. See, there are people that are absolutely waiting till they arrive to some level of perfection before they follow after the Lord. That's wrong. If you're looking for that, you're missing out, and you've believed a lie. We can help you with that. Some people are waiting till there's complete provision before they operate. Look, that's the world's viewpoint. That's not kingdom viewpoint. You don't wait till complete provision is visible. It's already been provided in the invisible. That's what faith's for. But I want to tell you, we don't wait and we don't fear mistakes. I was talking to a leader of a church not too long ago, and they felt like the Lord was wanting them to do something, but they were saying, I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid I'll mess up. That's wrong thinking. I'm going to just announce to you that behind every toxic emotion, doubt or unbelief, fear is a wrong belief. And this is why that we've got to be committed to the Word of God and continue in the Word of God. This is why it's so important. All right, I'm going to read to you Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 through 15. This is in the New Living Translation. Did I mess you up on the schedule? What do you want me to do first? Yes. So let's talk about relationship. How am I doing? All right. All right. Everybody give a thank you to the First Lady. Yeah, she's helping me preach faster. And all the people said. Amen. And we can hear them on podcast saying, yes. Okay. The Lord is so committed to you about relationship. And this is where we see him clearly. I'm telling you, if you don't see him clearly, then you're going to miss. You can get off track. And so one of the most important things is fellowship, relationship. And I'm just going to announce this. People are lazy about relationships. Lazy. You know what Christians would rather have? I can say this boldly because this is the way the Israelites were and told Moses, look, okay, God wants a relationship with us. We're kind of scared of that. We don't know what all that means. And so why don't you just go talk to God and find out what God wants and we'll do it. And so there's a lot of Christians that would rather have a list of do's and don'ts, okay, and just let me do the do's and I'll try not to do the don'ts, and that way we'll keep God off our back. We just don't want to make him mad, do we? Well, I want to tell you, that's not God's heart. You see, Jesus came to show us that Father wants relationship with you. Same thing he was telling the Israelites, but he's telling us in clear ways that he wants relationship with us. If you operate by a rule or a list, see, you don't have to listen to him. You don't have to humble yourself to him. You don't have to walk in humility. But I want to tell you something about Father that you need to know. Listen to this. He loves interaction with you. Yes, little old you. He loves interaction with you because that's what pleases the Father's heart. And this is what he wants. Psalm 34, 8 says this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Blessed. Do you see that? Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in him. Now, back where I was raised in Deep East Texas, behind the green curtain, in Deep East Texas, it was common on Hall's Hill. Big Mama used to make these cat head biscuits. That's not a part of the ingredient. That's what the biscuits look like. They're so big, they look like cat's heads. Cat head biscuits. And one of the treats after breakfast is that she would get out the ribbon cane syrup and little bowls, and you'd put some butter in the bowl and ribbon cane syrup, and you would stir it up till it was all together. And then you'd take a piece of the cat head biscuit and you'd dip it into that solution and you would eat it and then you would make noise. Because it was good. Make you want to shout out loud. I'm kind of thinking about it right now. But see, I want to tell you something. When I was in college and I was traveling and speaking, a lot of times I'd take a student or two with me. And if we were anywhere around Deep East Texas, we'd swing by there for breakfast. And for them to see the ribbon cane syrup and butter all stirred up and taking the cat, you know, it just didn't look like an appetizer because some were from different parts of the country and you know, it just didn't look like something they were used to. And I'd say, no, 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 you got to try it. Please try it. If you just taste it, you'll see. And when they would, some of them wouldn't, but when they would take a piece of that cat head biscuit and dip off in there, they'd make noise. They'd shout out loud. They'd praise the Lord openly and with a loud voice. And you know what? They said, where has this been all my life? That's what happens. That's what happens when you taste how good the Lord is. I'm telling you, the Lord is beautiful. The Lord is majestic. The Lord, would you listen, is so personal. And he wants you to enjoy him. You know, it's one of the definitions of whether you love the Lord or not is do you enjoy him? He wants to enjoy you, and he wants you to enjoy him. And when you taste and see how good the Lord is, you are blessed. And I want to tell you what this there are so many benefits that come when you taste and see, when you see Jesus clearly, when you taste and see how good He is. The next thing you know, your trust is rising. Your confidence in the Lord is rising. And you're not having to grunt to make it happen. And you know what happens is that you notice that you have a hunger and desire for the Lord and that you're taking refuge in Him. You find yourself more and more often, your thoughts and your heart being drawn to the Lord because the Lord tastes so good. He courts you to Himself. It's relationship and fellowship, and that's what He wants. Amen. Now, let me rush to say that in Him, the I Am, is everything you need. We've got people across Christendom that are seeking God for things. I'm not saying that's all wrong. But I'm telling you, in your journey, you need to seek Him and enjoy Him. And when you enjoy Him, when you're close to His heart and you're enjoying His heart, you have both of His hands. I hope you catch that. 1 Peter 2. Verse 3 says this, since you have already, see, if you know Christ, you've had a great taste of the Lord. Since you have already tasted the goodness and the kindness of the Lord. How long has it been, by the way, since you've tasted how good He is? Because that's His desire. Since you've already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord, come to Him. This is what the response is for you to come. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, how mature or immature. It doesn't matter how much brain you have or how skilled you are, how much money. No. He wants your heart. And He wants you to come. And so when you come to the living stone, and Jesus is the living stone, even though men rejected Him, when you taste and see how good He is and experience the kindness and the joys of the Lord, the blessing and pleasures of the Lord, you realize that He is treasure. That's what verse 4 is talking about. Men reject Him, but you recognize Him, the I Am, for who He is. He's our treasure. And verse 5 says this. Come. See, continue to come. You taste and see how good He is. It makes you want to come to Him. You say, well, I'm having a little motivational problem. Taste and see. And that desire, His desire in you, is birthed and renewed. And He draws you. He knows how to court you and draw you to Himself. And so we come, we taste and see how good He is. And verse 5, come and we'll be like living stones. The living stone Himself will take you and mold you and make you into treasure that's like Him. He will change you and make you more and more like Him. Conformed, transformed into Him. That's what Jesus does. That's why I call it effortless change, because we're not grunting. He's making it happen by us just simply enjoying the pleasure of His presence. He transforms us and changes us. And to offer up spiritual sacrifice that are acceptable, pleasing God through Jesus Christ, this is how to pursue and fulfill your purpose on earth. Man, when you set in and realize this is why I was born. This is my purpose on earth, is to bring Him glory, to honor and to love Him back. And when you find this, this is how to fulfill your purpose, is by allowing the living stone to create in you a treasure like Himself. Let's go back a little bit to verse 2. Like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, and earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow into complete, somebody say maturity, salvation. So, what do you have a craving for? I had to whisper to the beautiful blonde the other day, kind of craving a little bluebell. Craving a little bluebell. I found some stuff in the freezer, but it's Pastor Tony's wife. Caitlin's got it there. I didn't touch it, but I'm telling you, I was craving a little bluebell. Why? Because I remember I reflect on, I think on how good it is. And so I'm telling you, this is the key. Newborn babies crave. They thirst for. They have an inherited desire for that beautiful, refreshing, dessert-tasting milk. As a matter of fact, very often, they crave for milk. What do? When they're craving for milk, they sure do. They cry. And this is what the Bible says. When you call upon Him, call upon His name, when you call upon Him, when you cry out to the Lord, He answers. I want to tell you about the beautiful, refreshing, transforming, nurturing milk of the Lord that causes you to grow into your complete salvation. I want to tell you something about Him. And you know, mamas of little ones, when the crying starts, the milk flows. My wife says you don't need any explanation. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. But I want to say this to you. When you ask, the milk's already flowing. When you cry out to the Lord, the milk of the Lord is already flowing. You can't out-receive the Lord. I know when it comes to humans sometimes, we can take and take and take and they get a little irritated. Right? Yeah. I want to tell you, it's not that way with Jesus. When you receive of Him over and over and over again, He doesn't frown when He sees you coming. He doesn't grimace when He hears you cry. He enjoys you taking of Him. He loves it. The woman at the well is an example. Okay, He was tired. He was hungry. She received living water from Him. His disciples came back and said, I bet you're hungry. Bet you're tired. No, I've had refreshment that you don't know of. It blesses Him to bless you. He's calling you to come. Look at this. Verse 1. Now, you know, have you ever noticed that there's some things in this world that can spoil your appetite? Am I right? Okay, let me tell you something. It should be a warning. Disciple. It should be a warning. And when you recognize that there's things that affect your appetite for the Lord that you need to stay away from. That's what verse 1's talking about. So be done with every trace of wickedness, all deceit, insincerity, hypocrisy, pretense, grudges, envy, jealousy, slander, and evil speaking of every kind. This will upset your stomach, will upset your nature, will upset your fellowship, and it will cause you not to hunger and thirst for the Lord. Amen. Now, when you notice that there's something that would disturb your appetite, it's very important that you steer clear of it. Get to the milk. Because as you enjoy the milk and the pleasures of the Lord, it will cause you to crave Him. Because I want to tell you, He's addictive. I want to tell you something about Jesus. He's also contagious. And so this is what He wants for you and in you. Okay, I've got to preach a little faster. Wow, there's a little bit more here. Okay, how about Proverbs 16:24? Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. You can say ribbon cane syrup, it fits. Sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Now let me just say it like this. When you practice receiving that refreshing milk of the Word of God, that refreshing love life of the Lord, and you're receiving the Word of God that just absolutely blesses you and is sweet as ribbon cane syrup, and then you speak what the Lord has been speaking to you. That's called ministry. That's called sharing life. Say to others what God is saying to you. We're to comfort others with the comfort the Lord gives us. And when you speak the words that the Lord's saying to you, when you speak His Word, it's like ribbon cane syrup. Not only does it minister to the inside of people, do you see that? It's talking about the soul. Not only does it minister to the mind, but it also ministers healing to the body. So you have the power in your tongue to speak life or death, the Bible says. And when we say the words that Jesus is saying, we minister healing to the soul and to the body. Somebody say amen. Is that exciting? So we're getting in on what Jesus is doing. Psalm 19, 7, 8, and 10. The law of the Lord, somebody say the word of God, is perfect, restoring the whole person. Do you see that? Now, I shared with you in this series, Proverbs 4 says that the word of God is health to all of our flesh. The word of God is a healing to all of your flesh, inside and out. This repeats that, just says it in a different way. The word of God is perfect medicine to the person that's depressed, sad, discouraged, fearful, to the person that is sick. I'm telling you, it says the whole person. The word of God is powerful to restore. It's like perfect medicine to heal the person totally. And the testimony of the Lord, the works of the Lord, is sure, making wise the simple. Now, even if you're not, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, I know that, I understand that. But what's so exciting about the Word of God and the testimony, the works of the Lord, is that even if you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, the Word of God, the Lord will minister wisdom to you. Hey, you may not know all the in and outs, but if you know what to do next, that's wisdom. There's a lot of people that got a lot of brains that don't know what to do next. The precepts of the Lord are right. The principles of the Lord, of the Word of God, are right. They're always right. No matter what the world says, no matter what your body says, your emotions say, the Word of God is always right. Rejoicing the heart. It causes the heart to rejoice. Now, the heart need a lot of hearts need to rejoice because they're depressed. There are a lot of achy, breaky hearts in our generation. And I want to tell you, the word or the principles of the Lord are so right on target, that they will take the heart that's sad and cause it to rejoice. Does that minister to anybody? The word of God is so powerful, it'll take those with emotional sickness and cause them to have healing and rejoicing in the heart. Man, that's good news. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes. In other words, it will do this. It will give you a heaven perspective. If you're walking around with a world perspective or a human perspective, I want to tell you, it's dark. It's ugly. It's depressing. It's without hope. But God can take the same situation and you receive His Word. And I want to tell you, it causes your eyes to be pure and bright. It causes you to see Jesus clearly. See the I Am clearly. It enlightens your eyes to see Him. It gives you discernment. It allows you to see Jesus in the midst of your storm. And that's always good news. More to be desired are they than gold. Do you believe that? Now look, if you really believe that, you'll be at the Bible study Wednesday night. Because if we were handing out gold Wednesday night, if we were handing out $100 bills Wednesday night to whoever would come, I want to tell you, we'd have a record crowd, Pastor. Well, I want to tell you, we're handing out something better than $100 bills. If you believe what He said, is the Lord just joking or does He mean what He says? He's not a man that He should lie, the Bible says. He'll back up what He says. You come seeking the Lord and getting in His Word Wednesday night, and you'll be better off than getting gold. Even much fine gold. They are sweeter. Are you listening? They are sweeter also than the honey, ribbon cane syrup, butter, cathead biscuits, and even the drippings from the honeycomb. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are your words, Lord, to my taste. You see, wise, capitalized. It's talking about the Lord's words. Can you say this to the Lord this morning? Well, I want to tell you, you can say it tonight. Because there can be a turning of the heart. Your words are to my taste sweeter than honey, than to my mouth. And so Philippians 3:15 says this. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. If in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. And so look, Philippians 3 talks about this. That it's very, very important what God wants is personal relationship with you. Does that sound like what we've been talking about? That is the theme for believers. And not only do we want to get to know Him better and better and His love life better, but we want to experience His power. God wants us to experience His power. And not only to experience His power, but God wants us to continually be changed. To press into Him. To forget the past and press into the Lord. That's the theme of a believer. Now, it's possible for even mature believers to get off track. But if you're even the spiritually mature can get off track and get distracted. Am I right? And so even if they disagree, they get off track about these general themes. This is what he's saying. If a mature person will be seeking the Lord and listening to the Lord and practicing the presence of the Lord, and they'll hear the Lord say, adjust. They'll hear the Lord say, repent. Repent means to change your mind. It's a good word. And so that's what we are to expect. When you get out of focus, He'll show you. And He'll show you to adjust. The only ones that don't adjust are not those who are mature, but those that are childish and self-centered because they demand their own way. Does that sound familiar? So focus on God and forget the past. And God will reveal the next step when you take the present step. A lot of times, through reasoning, we want the whole map lined out. But what the Lord says is that you follow what I'm saying today and I'll show you tomorrow. I'll order your steps. He'll show you the next step. Do I have Mark 6:31? Okay. I ministered this to a number of pastors a couple weeks ago. It probably got the best response of anything I've sent them all year. Because a lot of pastors are wore out and tired from trying to do the work of the ministry that they're not receiving the love life of the Lord. Is that possible? Yes. If it's possible for pastors, it's possible for you. And this is what Jesus said to them. As for you, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Do you get that? Hey, you know what He wants? He wants you to come aside. This was a way of His pattern. A part of His pattern was to come away and spend time resting before the Father. For many were continually coming and going. They had not even leisure enough to eat. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants you to come and rest in Him. Receive from Him, be refreshed, be recharged, and be realigned. That's the Lord. So, I want to tell you this about Peter. He must have been close when he was walking on the water. He came, Jesus said, come. He asked if he could come, Jesus said, come. And he stepped on the water, and he was only human. I mean, only one besides Jesus that's walked on water. And he was walking on water, and he was doing real well because he was focusing on Jesus. And then the Bible says he took his eyes off Jesus. Does that speak to you? It's very easy to do, the winds and the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink, and he began to falter. And he had to cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me! Help me! I'm drowning. That's a powerful prayer, by the way, and you can pray at any time. And he's always going to say yes to that prayer. But I want to tell you, the Bible says the Lord reached out His hand. Matthew 14:31 says this, instantly Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. So he must have been close, is what I'm saying. All right? I want to tell you, sometimes that's the biggest temptation. It's in our success or in our victory or when we're enjoying our blessings that we forget our focus off of Him. I had a young man tell me not too long ago, Brother Tim, you know my journey. I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, you know, when I was struggling and I was desperate, it was easy to look to Jesus because that was my only choice. But when I began to be blessed and walk in victory and see success, I got my eyes off Jesus. Sound like what happened to Peter. He walking on the water. Hey, yeah! Woo! And then he gets to looking at the winds and the waves and he begins to sink. Cries out to the Lord, which is always a good thing. And the Lord reaches out and grabs him. Now, this is what Jesus said to him. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? I love what what I call the massage Bible. It's a modern paraphrase and it says like this. Jesus said, reached out and caught him and said, what got into you? You were doing so good. What got into you? And then Jesus tells them what got into them. It was doubt. You had enough faith. But I want to tell you, your faith is not very powerful when you're experiencing doubt. You've got more than enough faith. Don't ever say, well, it's because Pastor so-and-so or Brother so-and-so's got more faith. No, they don't. We all have a measure of faith. But I want to tell you, when we let doubt will cause your faith to have little effect. That's probably the best way to say it. And when there is doubt, you know, it usually has a couple of lanes there. Fear is one of them. And it could have been that he was looking around at the winds and the waves and he got scared. Okay, that can happen to humans, right? Or it might have been he had the wrong belief. He might have begun to reason and say, humans can't walk on water. Humans can't walk on water. Humans can't walk on water. But with the I am, Jesus is more than enough. So, I love what this... Do we have Mark 9, 21 through 24? Let me just look at that. Well, I'm running out of time. And I'm just so shocked by this. I know you are too. Mark chapter 9. I love what this dad said. He had a demonized boy, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. And here comes Jesus with a few of the other disciples. And so he's in a situation. And it's like life and death. You put your feet in the shoes of this dad. He's in a desperate situation. And Jesus asked the Father, how long has he been like this? And he answered, from the time he was a little boy, often thrown them both into the fire and the water, intending to kill them. But if you can do anything, are you listening? Yeah. Well, all things is what Jesus said. All things are possible to him who believes. And at once the father of the boy gave a cry. It's good to cry to the Lord. When you cry to the Lord, nourishment flows. Already flowing. So listen, this is a wise dad here. Look what he said. Crying with tears, he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help the weakness of my faith. Help my unbelief. I want to tell you, that's a powerful prayer. Because I want to tell you, sometimes doubt, speculation, unbelief shows up in our journey. And when it does, you surrender it to the Lord. Don't try to fight it by yourself. You give it to Jesus. A very powerful prayer is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And it was after that, that we see in Matthew 17, that the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Because they had been driving out demons in the name of Jesus. They didn't understand why this one didn't work. And Jesus said, it was because of your unbelief. Okay, it's not the size of your faith. You got it. But unbelief fights a tug of war against faith. Do you see that? It's not the size of your faith. It's the purity of your faith. It gets polluted with doubt and unbelief. Causes a tug of war. And we begin to sink. Does that sound familiar? I've been there, done that. You have too. But your faith is more than enough to walk on water if you don't tug of war with doubt and unbelief. Faith has less effect when we have doubt. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, you got that? Here it is right here, Mark 11, 23. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, okay, we need to speak it, we need to pray it. Whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt, do you see it? Does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Those are the words of Jesus. And that's something that he's speaking to us today. You got it. And he wants you to use it. But it's very, very important. It's not the size of your faith. It's pure faith. We get our eyes off Jesus, which can happen to any of us. And like we shared at Philippians, that you know what? When you do get off center, then by all means, cry out to the Lord. And seek the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, and get back in tow. Get back in line. Your faith is more than enough to walk on water. I'm going to need to stop. I was so wanting to tell you about Abraham. Because it's just, I'll tell you what, that's going to be our start next week. You need to be here next week to see the finish of this with Abraham. Because it's very, very powerful. And to see the beginning of what we're doing next. Will you do that? Are you glad you heard the Word today? Hey, look, did you see Jesus in the Word today? You see, it's okay if you don't remember what Papa T says a few hours from now. But that word, that revelation word that Jesus spoke to your heart during this message, those words are rhema for you. They're revelation for you. They're life to you. And let the Holy Spirit take that word and you say yes to it. That's what faith is. You say yes to it. And you let Him show you how to apply that to your life. And as you see Jesus clearly, the kingdom of God will be obviously in your life. Jesus said, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the King. And all of these things will be added unto you. That's God's way. It's not man's way. It's not religion way, but it's God's way. Why don't you bow your heads for prayer? I'm so thankful you were here today. I want you to thank Jesus for His word to you and say yes to Him with your heart. And He knows you. He knows how the Holy Spirit to help you apply His word and His works to your life. He knows how to do that. So listen. Listen to Him. Let the Lord speak. Be still in your heart, and you recognize the Lord right now. Things happen when we recognize the Lord. When we just receive Him and say yes to Him. When we respond to Him, the Lord's free to do all He wants to do. He wants you, and He wants to show Himself mighty in your life. He wants you to get to know Him better. Lord Jesus, we just thank You so much for Your power and for Your presence. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the power of Your Word. And Lord, we just speak Your Word that all of those who have been wounded and have been hurt, who have been discouraged, I declare and decree in the name of Jesus that the hope of the Lord rises up in them. I speak peace right now to their soul. And I declare in the name of Jesus, the healing of the Lord will restore you. The Word of God will be sweet as honey to your soul. And your craving, your desire for the Lord is on the increase. And our part is just to say yes. And so say yes to Him right now. Yes, Lord, this is what I want. I want You. And I want to know You better. I want to experience Your power personally in my life. I want to be transformed. So, Lord, we just bless that over Your precious people right now. And, Lord, I just speak great peace to rule and reign upon them. I declare this to be a week of great favor. I declare this to be a week of great protection. And I thank You, Lord, that You're our provider, that You are the great I Am, that You are more than enough for everything that we face and everything we need. And I just bless them with Your blessing today. And we just declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all the people said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering and let's celebrate the Lord. I'm so thankful you were here today.